Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Another blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity to share the Word of God again with you on this blessed Thursday. I thank God for all you that are listening. No matter what part of the country you listen to this broadcast at, I am grateful to God for all of you that's listening, no matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson tonight, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout this broadcast tonight. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we are given to you. Praise be to God. So, glory to God, the Most High. We're going to get ready to go into the lesson tonight, but for those of you who's been following us on Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do this. Before we go into the lesson, we pray. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, that is what we do. We don't just go into the lesson. We open up with prayer, give an invitation to the Spirit of the Lord to be with us and to give us what we need as we go into the lesson. Amen? So, wherever you're listening to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let's petition the Lord together for the presence of His Spirit to release to us what we stand in need today. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And You told us in the Word to pray to the Father in Your name. So, Heavenly Father, we pray to You in the name of Jesus, questing not only for the presence of Your Spirit, but that Your Spirit will release the light that we need as we go into the Word of God, that it may release the revelation that we need as we study on this subject. Father, You know we need it. Lord God, without it, we can't make it. So therefore, Lord, we petition You in humility and acknowledging that You are the all-wise God and that there's none wiser than Thee. So, Lord, based upon Your mercy and grace and by us coming to You in humility and faith, do this thing, Lord God, for Your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I thank You. Amen and amen. Praise be to God, glory to the Most High God. Tonight, we're still in the series concerning talking about the Jehovah Witness, what they teach, what they believe. Definitely, it is tonight we talk about the Holy Ghost, what the Jehovah Witness say about the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm going to give you what they teach and believe concerning the Holy Ghost. And then I'm going to give you what the Word of God say. And I'm going to even include the scriptures that I started off with last week. For those of you who was listening last week, you noticed we got cut off. And so we had technical difficulties. So therefore, I'm going to include the scriptures that I went over last week. Amen. For the devil is a lie. And I know that he don't want many of you to get this. So therefore, amen. We're going to do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I will take the time right now in the name of Jesus to bind every work of Satan, every hindering spirit right now. I bind and rebuke you and come against you and plead the blood of Jesus against you because I've been given authority over you to tread on you in the name of Jesus. You shall not hinder this broadcast. You shall not mess with the airwaves in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. I want to give to you and read to you first what the Jehovah Witness has to say about the Holy Spirit. And once again, hallelujah, I want to first open it up with an opening scripture. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. That's going to be our opening scripture, Isaiah 58 chapter, verse number 1. Isaiah 58 chapter, verse number 1 is our opening scripture to this lesson tonight. Amen. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. For those of you that have your Bibles, hey, let's go into the Word together. Amen. I want to, see, that's why I give you these witnesses, the two or three witnesses. And I also want, I like to put people's eyes on the Scripture. You know, I don't want them just listen to me just talk. You understand what I'm saying? Put in your eyes on the Scripture that you may read and see it for yourself. Amen. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, the Word of God says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, God has called for those who are, and this scripture here today representing those who represent Christ, okay? And he's calling us to cry aloud and spare not. We need to cry out against sin, against abomination, against iniquity, against wickedness, and against doctrine of men and doctrine of devils. Sad to say, many of us have taken the other road. We have played the quiet game. We're hiding in the trenches, deep in the corner, back in the closet. And instead of us crying out and standing for the faith, we're being silent, or either we're running, or we're like the ostrich, we are sticking our head in the sand. With the exception of a few in the body of Christ who has decided to do what the Word of God says here, who has risen up to cry out against sin and abomination and iniquity. But sad to say, even those not only are getting persecuted by some of the sinners, and especially the devil, but they're also getting persecuted by their own fellow servants in Christ, the ones who are scared and hiding in the trenches, is persecuting the ones who are speaking out or crying out and spare not. See, God going to hold us accountable for what we know and for getting this word out to the people. Okay? Now, some of us are not proclaiming it because, once again, perhaps some of our kin folks are Jehovah's Witness. For some of you, maybe your spouse is a Jehovah Witness. Maybe your good friend that you grew up with and threw pebbles in the water together. Maybe he's a Jehovah Witness. Maybe she's a Jehovah Witness. But it's going to come down to who's number one. Is it God or them? You decide. Brother Nate can't make that decision for you. Only thing I can tell you that going with him is the best bet. But your decision. But I want to give you, once again, what the Jehovah Witness teach and believe concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, as I was doing it once again, we got cut off, had technical difficulties. Therefore, I'm going to include the scriptures this week in what I said last week and add maybe three or four more scriptures. Amen? So, let me give you first what the Jehovah Witness teach about the Holy Spirit. And once again, to those of you who are born-again believers, okay, or let me put it this way, who are professing to be saved, but you're playing the back-in-the-closet role, the quiet role, okay, you have a decision to make. Now, I'm not saying you go up there and cuss folks out and try to get them, no, but you have to stand for the word of truth. As the saying goes, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. Now, let me give you what the Jehovah Witness preach and teach, or preach and believe, or teach and believe concerning the Holy Ghost. Now, I had told you before in this series overall that the Jehovah Witness got a special particular book called the NWT, which is known as the New World Translation. That's what they call it. And this New World Translation, quote, supposed to be the interpretation of the Bible. And I'm here to tell you today it ain't. I'm just going to lay it out to the line. Ain't no need to sugarcoat it or beat around the bush. That is not no interpretation, actual interpretation of the true scriptures. Those interpretations that they come up with come from their so-called scholars because they believe in their scholars, okay? And you'll understand this more as I give you what they say about the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, Also, they have other books that they have written, Jehovah's Witnesses have written. So therefore, when I give you this information, you'll hear me quoting some of these other books, okay? Hallelujah. Now, this is what they teach and believe about the Holy Spirit, okay? In their book called Let God Be True, they said the Holy Spirit is the invisible active force of Almighty God that moves his servants to do his will. So they said the Holy Spirit is an invisible active force, okay? In another book they got called The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life, this is what they said. They said, as for the Holy Spirit, the so-called third person of the Trinity, we have already seen that it is not a person, but God's active force. So they're saying the Holy Ghost is not a person. Once again, they're saying it is God's active force. Okay? In another book they got called Aid to Bible Understanding, they say the scriptures themselves unite to show that God's Holy Spirit is not a person, but is God's active force by which he accomplishes his purpose and executes his will. Interesting, okay? In another book they got called Should You Believe in the Trinity, they said the Bible's use of Holy Spirit indicates that it is a controlled force that Jehovah God uses to accomplish a variety of his purposes. To a certain extent, it can be likened to electricity, a force that can be adapted to perform a great variety of operation. Let me give you one more. They said, no, the Holy Spirit is not a person and it is not part of a Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God's active force that he uses to accomplish his will. It is not equal to God, but is always at his disposition and subordinate to him. So from the information I've given you, the common thing you should hear in there is that two common things they say. They said that the Holy Spirit is not a person and that the Holy Spirit is nothing but an active force. So the question is that true? And we're going to go into the scriptures because I'm going to show you here that is not true, okay? That is not true. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14. We're going to let the word of God speak here. The book of John, chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17 and 26. See, this is why you have to study the word for yourself. Now, some of you as Christians don't believe this. You know, people are taking scriptures and twisting it. They're twisting it. They're putting their own, quote, scholar thinking to it and all that. And you think that means nothing to you. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're going to be approached by some of these people. If it ain't happened yet, just hold on. And by you not getting in the word, sitting there going, well, I don't know, well. See, when the devil smelled that you ain't been getting in that word, he said, fresh meat. And one thing about it, for those of you who think you're so strong without getting in the word, the devil will have them telling you something that'll sound so good to your ears, you would accept it. Amen, you would accept it. Now, some of you may be shaking your head, no. Okay, keep on going the way you're going, not spending no time in the word, not getting in prayer. Watch what I tell you. You're going to find out, you're going to be doing stuff, and you're going to find out, and later time you're like, that's not a God. And you're going to find out and see it. And you're like, oh, how did that happen? Because you weren't getting in the word. Now, John chapter 14, verse 16, look what Jesus says. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, that he may abide with you. Even the Spirit of truth. See, he's talking about the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, wait a minute. Do that sound like an act of fraud to you? That sounds like a person to me, right? Yeah, that's a person. These he's and hims and all that, that's a person. That's a person. Look at verse 26. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall what? Teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Well, if he wasn't a person, how is he teaching? Okay. If he wasn't a person, how is he teaching? See, Jesus letting you know the Spirit of God is a person. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is three persons making one God, one being. Do you get that? So this active force stuff they talking about, they missed the mark bad. The Holy Ghost is not an active force. The Holy Ghost is a person. And yes, the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. When we went over to the other day about the Trinity, you saw that 1 John chapter 5 said, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. That's the Godhead. Because, you know, some Christians call it Trinity. I want to call it what the Bible said. That's the Godhead. So he's the third person of the Godhead. Okay? And these three persons make one God. Hallelujah. Now, if he wasn't a person, if the Holy Spirit wasn't a person, why is Jesus talking about he would teach you? Huh? Why would Jesus pronouns or common nouns like he and him? What would he do that for? Come on, people. We got to study the word. See, this is how some of those that is ungodly, not of God, is able to capture those who are supposed to be godly. Because we're not getting in the word. We're not getting in the word. Some of you are relying upon other people. You won't get in the word for yourself. You won't study the word. And you think whenever a hard spot come up, you'll be able to run to them and ask them. But guess what? That time finna close. Because you finna run to them and you ain't going to be able to find them. Amen. Now, don't get mad at me. You're talking about, well, you try to speak a curse. No, I'm not. See, here's the thing. God is not going to let you become totally dependent, even on your pastor. Pastor been assigned in a leadership position over you. That's true. But see, God didn't tell you to be 100% dependent on him. And see, some of you won't even study the word, and you're 100% dependent on him, and you think every time the hard spot come up, you're going to run to him, and he's going to either step in and defend, or he's going to answer. That's not going to be so. And see, you've been doing it for a while, but guess what? It's going to run out. Amen. It's going to run out. Oh, okay. Well, you ain't got to believe me. Just keep on doing what you're doing. You'll see. Amen. You'll see. Praise God. Let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Let's look at verse 13. Now, we're still looking at Jesus, talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 13. And look what the Word of God says. John chapter 16, verse 13, it said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Ghost, called the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Now look how many times he said he in that one verse. First of all, he tell you that the Holy Ghost can guide. Okay? If he wasn't a person, what are you doing, God? This ain't no just no act of force. This is the person guiding. Number two, he said that the Holy Ghost can speak. He said, but whatsoever he shall hear, he can hear and he can speak. That sounds like just like an act of force to you. That's a person, okay? And he will show you things to come. Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, he shall receive a mind and shall show it unto you. Jesus still using he. The Holy Ghost is not an active force, people. It is a person. It is the third person of the Godhead. Amen? God's Spirit. Not no active force. See, this is the reason why. See, I don't know if some of you ever noticed. I know some of you have. But the Jehovah's Witness do not even talk about the Holy Spirit.
You don't hear them talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit. They don't talk like that. Why? Because they don't believe. They don't believe he's a person. They believe he's just an act of force. Teachings come from revelation that come through the Holy Ghost? No way. It comes from their so-called scholars. Because they let you know they believe in their scholars. For the most part, they was at one point where even the members, you know, they had to depend totally on the, quote, the clergy for the answer. They couldn't read and try to study for themselves. They had to get all their answers from the clergy. Amen. Hallelujah. If the Holy Ghost wasn't a person, then Jesus messed up saying all these he's about him. Okay. And I know Jesus didn't mess up. Jesus didn't make no mistakes. He didn't see it or none of that. So I know he know what he was talking about. Amen. We're subject to miss it, but not Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Peter is going to be another witness to you that the Holy Ghost is a person. Amen. He's not no act of force. He's a person. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. You know, and the thing about this, people, is that we have to get into the Word for ourselves. You got all these doctrines of men and devils just floating all on this earth. And the devil, what he's doing, he's causing people to especially approach those who has no consecration life, no study life to God. He's having an approach, and it's telling something, anything, something to tickle their ears and make it sound good, okay? And because many of us would not get into the Word of God, like God said, we're able to be deceived, okay? 24, Jesus said, many shall come in my name and shall deceive many, okay? It means that they're going to have some degree of success in deception. Well, how is that? Well, one of the ways is that the people they're going to deceive is not going to know the word. And it's not that they wouldn't have opportunity. But they squandered the opportunity that they had. Amen? Now, Acts chapter 5. Now, I'm going to start at verse 1, go to verse 3. Verse 1 said, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy or aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, if the Holy Ghost wasn't a person, why was there such a concern about Ananias lying to it? If the Holy Ghost is just an active force, then what is Peter talking about? Why are you lying to the Holy Ghost if the Holy Ghost was an active force? Don't make no sense, do it. So the Holy Ghost has to be a person, okay? Hallelujah. And look at verse 4. He said, why remain, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Thou conceived this thing in thy heart. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto what? God. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because once again, he's the third person of the Godhead. So lying to the Spirit of God, you're lying unto God. It's okay, point blank. Holy Ghost is a person, okay? Amen. I mean, a person, not no active force. Hallelujah. Once again, for those of you that think that you're so strong and that, you know, you don't have to get in that word, God loves you, he cares for you. You know, I've heard such, I call it, cop-out phases. It phrases, well, it's what people say to cop out from doing what they're supposed to do. And one of the very common ones is God knows my heart. First, for a while, it was like God loves me. But now people are going more on God knows my heart. Okay? That's an excuse for not to do what they're supposed to do. And so if you're talking to them, and all of a sudden, you know, especially if they're seen or something like that, to defend what they're doing or not doing, they would say, you know, God understands my heart. That's the sure way to say, man, get off my back, get away from me, okay? I mean, that's what it is. And so Ananias lied to the Holy Ghost, who was a person. And Peter would let him know, say, hey, that's a no-no, you know. That's a no-no. You didn't mess up, Ananias, you know. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And, you know, once again, that's why I tell you, see, you don't, your witness don't be talking about the Holy Ghost. They don't be talking about, I was led by the Spirit, and I'm spending and spend time along with God's Spirit that he may reveal. No, they depend on that. Once again, they're so-called scholars. They're governing body for the, quote, interpretation of the Scripture. I'm here to tell you, once again, that book, the New World Translation, that's not of God. Period. I am openly saying this. You know, you got some Christians, this is the thing, Lord help me, that gets me sometimes. By that statement I just made, they be saying, shh, don't say that. You know, you ain't talking in love. No, I got to call it what it is. Because we have gotten the love thing from God mixed up. We think when God said love every man, that means accept every abomination, every sin, every iniquity, every wickedness, every book that's not of God, every doctrine of man, every devil man, we think it means that means to be in, to love everybody. No, that don't mean that. No. We have to tell the truth in love. What if God tells us that? He said tell the truth, but tell it in love. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 13. And I'm going to start at verse 1. Hallelujah. And maybe stop at verse 2. Now, verse 1 said, now there were in the church, that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, see, the Holy Ghost got a voice. If he wasn't a person, what he's doing with a voice? What is he doing talking, period? Okay, if he's just an active force and not a person, what is he talking for? What is he doing talking? He shouldn't even be talking, okay? Amen. And it said, the word said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called, past tense them. Okay? I've called. See, the Holy Ghost spoke. Why? The Holy Ghost is a person. Amen? Hallelujah. And see, and the Holy Ghost spoke, the Bible said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. See, we have come very often very much one-sided, even in our prayers. In our prayers to God, we just study asking God for something. But what about ministering to the Lord? What about worshiping him? What about praising him? What about telling him how marvelous he is and how glorious and how no one else is better than him? See, you're ministering to the Lord on that. But see, you got some Christians, it's the me game. And so every time I want to go down in prayer, I'm going down there asking God for something. Now, let me ask you all a question. How would you feel if there were people that just came to you only when they wanted something? Oh. Let you think on that for a minute. Now, the Bible said, as they ministered to the Lord and fast, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. Okay? True calling comes by God through his Spirit. True calling. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about people talking about, well, I feel like I need to be a preacher. No. We ain't going by no feel. Like, I done heard guys say, I feel. I said, man, you need more than a feel. Okay? You talking about some feeling. I said, okay, you go on your feeling. Now, when that devil throw that kitchen sink at you, you're going to throw both hands real quick and give up. You got to have this calling from the Holy Ghost in your spirit. You got to know without a shadow of a doubt. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called. When God reveals the call on your life, he didn't just come to that idea right then or come to that plan right then. You know, God didn't just at that moment say, you know what? I think I decide he's going to be a prophet. No, God already had this, what he wanted you to be. That's why the Holy Ghost said, for the work I called, as tense, them. He already called. He wasn't just calling them then per se. It was being revealed to them, but he wasn't just calling them. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Who revealed it? The Holy Ghost. And like I said, you're not finding out that Jehovah's Witness ain't going around saying, okay, let us pray and receive revelation for the Holy Ghost. You don't hear them saying that. Why? Because, once again, they don't believe that the Spirit of God is a person. Don't believe in dealing with revelation and stuff through the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy to be glorified. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you one or two scriptures from the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Elijah. Jesus' word, Jesus speaking his word by the Elijah. The resurrected John the Baptist, as mentioned in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 4. Jesus promised to send the Elijah. That's what he's been doing. He's going to continue to do until the work is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to read one of these verses out of what is called Message 110, which means that was the 110th time that Jesus sent his angel, the Elijah, June 19, 1991. Okay? I want to read one of these verses, going with our subject tonight. Amen? Praise be to God. And the word said, ye that hear the whispering of God's Spirit, how that it mellows the heart of men, yea, even all that hear and obey, great things shall transpire before you. The sick heal, the lame walk, the blind be made to see, the greater power shall be given. Now notice what Jesus said by the Elijah. He said, ye that hear the whispering of God's Spirit. That's a voice, ain't it? God's Spirit has a voice. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't start sending the word of the Lord, start saying, you know, the Holy Ghost is an active force. No, he didn't change from the Bible. Okay? The Holy Ghost is a person, and he speaks. And God said, hear the whispering of his Spirit, of God's Spirit. And what it does, it mellows the heart of men. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It mellows the heart of men. He said, great things shall transpire before you. Glory to God. And he names the sick healed, the lame walk, the blind be made to see. To those that hear. Okay? And that's another key word. He said, ye that hear the whispering of God's Spirit. See, there are people that ignores it. So he ain't talking to the people that ignores it. Remember the Bible, what Jesus said was that the book of Luke chapter 6, he said, I speak to those that hear. Well, why would he have to say like that? Because, see, everybody ain't hearing. Everybody ain't listening. There's people who proclaim to be believers. They are ignoring the voice of the Spirit. So Jesus said here in the word of the Lord, ye that hear the whispering of God's Spirit, how it mellows the hearts of men, he said, great things is going to transpire before you. Hallelujah. You're listening. You're heeding. You're not ignoring. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. He said, greater things, great things is going to transpire before you. Amen. That's what the Lord. That's what the Lord said, okay? Hallelujah to Jesus. I want to read one more verse It's come out of what is called Message 93. Message 93. Jesus sent this out July the 23rd, 1974. Amen. Jesus speaking by the Elijah. Hallelujah. And I want to read to you what he said in the word here. And he says, the midnight cry is on. Hear, O ye ends of the earth, come. The Spirit says, uh-oh, there you go again. The Spirit says, come. The Lord and the Word say, come all the way and deliverance will be yours. You will stand in holy places and inherit in the will of the Lord. The kingdom and dominion shall be the inheritance of the humble and righteousness. Now notice he said, the Spirit say, come. Once again, letting you know what? The Spirit of the Lord has a voice. As that, it's a person, that's why. Spirit of God's a person, people. It's not an active force. Person of the Godhead. Okay? What the Word of God calls the Godhead. He's the third person of the Godhead. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to the living God. See, that's why it's important, very important. You know, I've come across some people questions about something that other people have said, you know, either concerning the Word of God or some kind of other, quote, religious group, like the Jehovah's Witness or other groups have said concerning God. And I can tell when they ask me the question, they wanted to know the answer, but not enough for them to search it for themselves. They wanted to know it just to hear from me, or whether they ask you or someone else, okay? And don't get me wrong, it's nothing wrong with us asking one another, you know, about some things of the Word of God. It's nothing wrong with that, but here's where it becomes a problem. It becomes a problem when you are the type that won't study, and that's all you do is ask to see what someone else say. This is why you got some Christians are in confusion now, because what they have done, by them not having a relationship with Christ through his word and studying, they have asked particular things, and they have gotten different answers from different Christians, from different people that are Christians. And now they're getting all upset and saying, I'm confused, I don't know who to believe, and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, okay, why you ain't studying for yourself? Okay? It's just like, for example, let's get an example of this. The rapture. Three different speakings on the rapture. You got those who speak of pre-trib rapture. You got those who speak post-trib rapture. And those that are mid-trib rapture. Now, if you had a believer who don't get in the Word, who don't study,